Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And once again, contrary to all popular myth, we are What's Happening, another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright with hundreds of years of broadcasting experience and a bike and hot rod builder, too. And Mr. Shane Osborne across the microfeter from me, a master mechanic and the general manager of E-Company Customs, one of the coolest custom shops around.
Hello.
And Steve, the producer, Johan, who has been producing podcasts for his entire life. And is the proud owner of most all the pieces of a 68 El Camino.
Probably a few extra.
Probably does, yeah.
Yeah.
I know he has at least a couple of taillight lenses that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
Using for coasters. And I don't know if I'm really up for that. It's not the best use of them. Back to the blacktop is first. We're going to check out the happenings in the automotive world. And boy, have we got happenings today, buddy. What do you got?
Well, we do. Mercedes working hard to be one up the competition and creating the ultimate supercar. I call it supercar, but it's now called the hypercar. That's like the next level up.
There's a cartoon called Supercar. Do you remember it?
I think
it was one of the worst animated cartoon shows ever.
I do not remember that one. No.
It was Supercar. It was horrible.
I remember Hot Wheels, and I was like 1 year. That was cool.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the animation was pretty crummy, it was still
cool. We're talking Clutch Cargo level animation.
Yes, exactly.
This is pretty bad stuff.
And then there was Speed Racer.
Speed Racer.
Oh, that one's awesome.
That's like the original anime. Was like prior to anybody really going, anime. It was just Speed Racer and had those Japanese eyeballs.
3 o'clock, I was at home in front of the TV waiting for Speed Racer to come
out. Oh, my gosh. And it would be endlessly going around the corner.
And his little monkey pet.
Yes.
Whatever that was. Yeah. Some odd animal.
His pit crew was a monkey.
So Merc is doing what?
Well, the Mercedes is underway to see, within the race world, they are underway to see who can do a better job of applying Formula One technology to their street cars. And Daimler AG wants you to know they're getting close, providing a handful of images showing off their brand new Mercedes AMG Project One hypercar prototype undergoing track testing. Now, this is in a secretive track because they don't want anybody seeing this thing.
So
they sent it out so that we can see.
They covered it with cardboard.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The Project One, which according to the writer looks more like Le Mans than Formula One racer, has been generating buzz for several years with recent mock-up that showed up at the 2017 Frankfurt Motor Show. Yeah. So the bottom line is these guys want to bring in that technology, add it to the street car, and then I look at that and I go, either you're going to take it out on the track or you're going to get a heck of a lot of tickets, because what are you going to do with something that probably is going to end up doing over 200 miles an hour?
Well, it's the same exact logic behind the Veyron. It's the logic behind the Demon and the Hellcat.
Yeah.
It's,
all
of that.
I mean, so you have it.
Just build
it.
Sure.
Really, it's just so you can say,
how much money have you got?
That's right.
And I have one that will do that.
Yes.
I mean, this goes back to the original Shelbys. The Shelbys would do 200 miles an hour. Well, okay.
Well, even the muscle cars. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But people did.
It's just something to do.
That's
right.
Mine's bigger than yours kind of thing.
That's exactly what it is. Kind of like the 4x4 that never sees the dirt.
Yeah.
But it's jacked up.
Yeah, it's got 6 feet of clearance on it.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it'll never see dirt. BMW adjusts financial forecast. The BMW Group cut its guidance for the current financial year, noting it had expected 2018 to be a challenging year, due in part to the additional upfront investments of around 1 billion euros on mobility programs that will mature in future years.
A billion euros, so that's like 12 bucks? What's the exchange these days? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think BMW needs to cut back how many models they have out. It's getting hard to keep up with.
You know, that several of the German makers are
Mercedes
stuck with that. Mercedes
got a lot
does
too.
The same. It's
yeah.
and last year Mercedes, or maybe it was a year before, Mercedes changed their numbering architecture.
Yes.
So now it's like
now
you
it's
don't
really
know what it is. Yeah. Cadillac did the same
320i,
thing.
320i, 320 above. Oh, well, what's that now?
No,
now it's
the 450 XQZ.
Right.
You hold your leg up in the back.
At least before it made sense.
It used to be 450 ESLs, right?
And well, that was then that 500 to 600s ESLs.
Yeah, each number made it was a higher performance, higher power car.
That's right.
You know, 3 Series was your base model. The 4 Series was the next, or the 5 Series.
Well, and that was after
step.
The E Series and the C Series and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they're doing the opposite of what United States manufacturers, which are shrinking their sedan market, and they're shrinking what they're offering. You're down to, like, pickup trucks and a few SUVs, and that's about all.
What it's going to mean is the U.S. is going to be out of the racing world.
It is.
If they don't make some sedans.
Well, except for Mopar. God love Mopar.
Yeah, I love Mopar. They're doing some sedans out there.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to have Cadillacs and
they're part of Daimler, though.
Yeah, but a four-door Hellcat, you gotta love that one.
Yeah.
That's all right. You got to.
And so GM adds to the electric lineup women at the upper levels. And then, interestingly enough, General Motors is expanding its commitment to the electric vehicle program, well, we all know that,
sure,
by moving three top executives into new positions that should elevate the company's electrification. Do you like that?
Say that again.
Electrification program. Pamela Fletcher, GM's vice president of global electric vehicle programs, is getting a new higher-ranking position. and then it says she is amongst three others that have already moved into that, Mary Barrera. And so it's they're really bringing in a lot of female upper echelon people to the top to their company. And I'm just wondering if maybe they're seeing some writing on the wall that who buys a lot of the cars? Women. Maybe they're going to put that women input into the future of their vehicles.
We're going to get letters about this, but I got to say,
I disagree.
Don't put somebody in position because of the gender. You put them in because they can do the job.
I know that. That's beyond. They are.
You know.
No, I'm not.
Ahead, please, folks, go ahead and write. I'll take the heat. But yeah.
That was not a slam.
I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
Not you. It's just. So I'm glad.
So Fletcher, once Shepard, developed the production of the Chevrolet Bolt. Now she will answer directly to CEO Mary Barrera. So they've got their chops behind them. These are not just spring chickens. These are people who've worked their way up. And it'll be interesting because the whole electrification thing, I still think it's a long, long way out.
Oh, no, it's not.
Well, electric cars by themselves, not a bad deal. You'll see them. Yeah, they're already out there. They make up 1% of the populace. Yeah, but self-driving cars, that's different.
Yeah.
But electric cars, no. I think there's definitely a market. They're going to be out there, and they already are.
And the power and the efficiency.
Well, that's not even an issue. I still want to make
when we're bigger and better and more popular, and we get some sponsors on board, and maybe some.
You mean tomorrow?
Underwriting. I would like to build a sleeper electric. So you take some old steel and put a monstrously huge.
I got a 41 Jimny.
Seattle Electric Club, they have some killer cars.
I saw those.
Yeah.
They were down at the Greenwood Auto Show.
But they're not kind of the car that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking more like a 65 Impala that'll drive like a Hellcat.
You're talking about a 68 El Camino. Come on, let's just
No, I do not want to bother. No, no, no. My El Camino is perfectly fine. Do not put an electric in that. Yeah. But I am talking a sleeper car with electric in it.
That'd be fun. Oh, yeah. Be fun to do.
And make it so it drives just as good as a Tesla and outperforms a Tesla. But anyway.
Well, it's inevitable.
That will happen.
It's just a matter of time.
And it's official. Porsche is set to become the first German automaker to completely abandon diesel engines. We've been talking about the diesel engine thing for a long time.
It was such a good idea when it started.
The move confirmed by CEO Oliver Blume and said that come in the wake of the emissions cheating scandal that has so far cost parent company $30 billion in fines, decided it's time to just drop the whole diesel thing.
Well, in fairness,
first place.
That really isn't a problem with diesel. It's a problem with their manufacturing techniques and they're trying to slip things under the wire. Diesels by themselves, okay, good. You know, it's not a bad thing.
It's time to see them go to the wayside, though.
Well, you know. Just think of how great of a deal you're going to get on those old J-head diesels now. You'll be able to get them for $200-$300.
Yep.
Hey, they may be showing up in a used
in a rat rod near you.
Near you. That's right.
Not near me.
Well,
I won't work on them.
Well, I'll tell you what. The
dirty, messy, loud. Yep.
They are.
I don't like diesels.
So far, I haven't heard anything I don't like. So dirty, messy, loud. That's half the fun.
Semis let theirs idle forever. The big things, and they go forever. But the guys that drive around the trucks, they park them. Start them up, park them, and it's just they're the stinkiest things on the road because they're not driven the way a diesel's made for.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, that went by too fast. I had more stuff to share.
Of course you did.
A whole shoe load.
What's the surprise there? Stick with us. We got today's trivia question coming up, and we've got a special guest named Brian Daigle about whom we will tell you more later on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. Redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit Father.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for the windshield view. And this week, we have found some cool items to showcase.
A really cool item, as a matter of fact. In past, we have talked quite a bit about Rat Rod magazine. Of course, it's kind of the holy grail of car magazines, yes, devoted to the Rat Rod industry. And one of the guys who's a regular columnist there is a guy by the name of Tommy Ring. And he does all kinds of cool stuff about building on a budget. And every issue, there's some sort of, you know, version of how to put together a pretty decent Rat Rod for a relatively low bucks. And a lot of people have been asking, so where can I, how many issues do I have to go back? Can I get the back issues? Can I get, you know, the whole thing? So what they've done now, if they've put together a DVD, a video, it's over 3 hours. It's called Hot Rodding on a Budget, and it's how to build a rat rod. 3.5 hours, step-by-step instructions on how to build a low-budget hot rod. And Tommy Ring is, you know, the host. He takes you through a whole bunch of stuff. It mostly is the video and the pictures from a lot of his past columns, but it's actually the builds.
Yeah.
So if you ever thought, you know, this might be fun and you had a spare $2,000 that you wanted to end up with a running vehicle, this could be pretty cool. You can get it through ringrods.com. You can also get it in Rat Rod Magazine. But I thought I would plug it because Tommy has been real instrumental in helping me get started in my project. And he's just, I mean, he's done so.
Have you ordered your copy?
Pardon me?
Have you ordered your copy?
I have.
I was going to say, are you going to be $2,000 into this thing or a little bit more?
Actually, my budget, when I first started off, he said you could do it for $1,500. I knew I couldn't, so I set myself $5,000.
Huh.
And that's for $5,000, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that means that's I've got a little bit of room to hire people to do stuff that I can't do because there's always some.
Well,
of that,
well, you know, $5,000 in '91 bought me my all original SS396 El Camino 68.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Try to
but
find
today,
that one for now.
I don't think you'd be able to touch that.
Nope, not
close
even
to $30,000 less than that.
Anyway, I wanted to just kind of touch on that before we jump in. I understand we have a special guest.
Yes, we do. His name is Brian Daigle. And speaking of hot rodding and rat rodding,
yes.
Brian, let me get my little introduction. Brian actually has been affiliated with that magazine that you just talked about.
I suspected
but,
as much.
He actually has got his own thing going. And he's got a really cool thing. They're going to take rat rods to SEMA and all that. It's called Radical. That's RATICAL. DriveOff.com for more information. And really better, without further ado, let's bring in Brian. So how's things going tonight, Brian?
Great. Everything's going great here.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Yes. So Brian is coming in from beautiful North Carolina, if I understand. Am I correct there, Brian?
No,
Minnesota. I'm sorry.
Minnesota.
Oh, boop. Nice. Yep. Very nice. That's not quite to North Carolina.
Nah.
No. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody today. So
Brian, if I can ask, what was your original startup at Rat Rod? What did you do over there, and how did you get to where you are?
I was actually a head builder for Rat Rod magazine for 6 years.
Okay. I thought I remembered seeing your name in the magazine.
Yes, I did. 2010, I bought into the magazine, and 11 was our first build.
Yeah.
I actually was the first guy to take Rat Rod out on tour, the official Rat Rod tour in 2011.
Oh, nice.
Went down to the Redneck Rumble, went down south, and come back up north. And from there, we did four tours, build ops. I built four vehicles for the magazine. It was a really good time. Got to meet a lot of great people on the road. Got to meet Tommy Ring. Got to meet a lot of really good people on the road. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Good experience.
Well, I got to say, I want to hear what you're doing because it sounds exciting. But, you know, as somebody who was sort of a fan of the magazine from day one, it's been an invaluable resource for me because, you know, I'm one of those backyard guys. I know some stuff, but there's a lot of stuff I don't know. And it's really good to have a compendium of information like this that I can, you know, get ideas that I can figure out stuff to do. So it's a tremendous magazine. Now, what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm running the independent build-off, the Radical Rod build-off, drive-off, that we go to SEMA, or we go to Las Vegas every year, and then we attend SEMA once we're in Las Vegas.
Very cool.
My build-off, drive-off consists of a 1,400-mile drive-in from Lincoln, Nebraska to Las Vegas.
That's a test.
The road is the test. we do a four-day push. This year, actually, will be a three-day push into Las Vegas, so as they test the vehicles, we fix everything on the road. If anything breaks, they all pitch in. Each team's help each other.
Nice.
And the family oriented. Once we travel that far together, it all turns into family.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a really good thing. It's good for the scene. So we bring them all into SEMA. Then all of our competitors have manufacturer sponsors into SEMA. They had to get them on their own. So they literally had to go in and schmooze manufacturers and sell themselves as builders.
Sure.
And then have the faith of the manufacturer invest their product into them, and they build, and then they drive into Las Vegas and promote the manufacturer's product at SEMA.
That is super. Well, you know, it's the thing about rat rodding to me is just as a category of builds. You know, lots of people, hot rodding is not new. It's been around for, you know, 50, 60 years. But the idea of rat rods, I'm a member of one club, and their motto sort of is, we build them to drive them. You know, there's no trailer queens. There's no, you know, polishing. There's no billet, no chrome. It's the whole idea is you make a running vehicle and then you drive it, and that's the whole point. And the show cars and the trailer queens and the cars that, you know, are made for specific purpose like gassers. It's wonderful to have them. You know, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're kind of a one trick pony. And you know, if you can put together a bunch of parts in your backyard and make an operating vehicle that's safe, that's fun, that's, you know, relatively comfortable, that's the whole essence of hot rodding.
You bet.
Well,
yes, it's a good thing.
Well, and you were telling me that when you branched off from Rat Rod Magazine, it was more of a idea of mating the newest technology with the old steel. Why don't you share a little bit about that whole movement? Because we've got Greg Gott up here in our neck of the woods who's done exactly that. He's basically got a race car that he's just put a little body over the top of.
A little rust over.
Yeah. That thing will do, I don't know what it'll do, but that thing will scream. But talk to us about that whole aspect, and that's how you've been able to bring in some of the manufacturers on board.
Well, yes. Being at SEMA, going to SEMA in 2015, I talked to a lot of manufacturers, and they love the rat rod scene. They love the fact that these guys were building stuff in the backyard, and they seen it coming back to the roots of hot rodding, the way it was back when it started. These guys building in the backyards and, you know, putting their stuff on the street and enjoying it and driving the wheels off them. Well, I see the modifications coming in, the little bit more higher technology, the LS motors, better frames, I mean, high-tech stuff, new stuff. LS motors and all that is, I mean, kind of not heard of in the rat rod because it's all old school, but I see it morphing into Radical more because the manufacturers were using their product and they're seeing that we're using their product and they're enjoying the fact that we're putting it on the street and actually driving them. We're testing them. So it's a good proving ground for their products, and they're really loving them, seeing them on the street.
I think that's great because,
yeah,
I mean, you guys kind of end up being the beta testers for a lot of this stuff, and, you know, the feedback I'm sure that you're giving the manufacturers is helpful to them, you know, to sort of tighten up the product itself.
Oh, yeah, so we're a testing ground for them, so they, you know, they learn what's good and what's not and what's usable and what, you know, that could be left behind. So it's a good thing for us and the manufacturers both.
Well, talk about some of the sponsors and the manufacturers who've gotten on board to support the this whole. Because, I mean, there's been aftermarket parts guys around forever, and that's kind of what the whole SEMA thing is that. But how are they seen? Because you told me that that for a long time they looked at the rat rod and said, well, those guys are just building on a budget. They want to use used parts and everything. There's no need to put any oomph into that as far as marketing and bringing out parts. How has that changed?
Well, a lot of them, the aftermarket, with like Woodward, Fab, and those, you know, guys who build the tools are really seeing these guys, you know, everyone wants English wheel, planish, and hammer in their own garage to be creating their rat rods with them. You know, they can start doing some really crazy stuff with their own hands, building, you know, with the steel. So the manufacturers of the tools have really stepped up. The welders and stuff, Lincoln and Miller and these guys are really seeing it because they're selling a lot more product to these guys in their garages.
Well, I'm gonna step in there for a moment because we are coming up to our break, and I don't want to miss what you have to share because we got another segment here to go. But Shane works in a shop that has English wheels and all this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely talk about that coming back. Shane's been able to build cars from the get go, so stick with us.
More horsepower and chrome and rust after these messages.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Get ready. It's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmunds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmunds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ishmael Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ishmael, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week we have Brian Daigle on with us with RadicalDriveOff.com, and he is all about putting together a fleet of rat rods that have been highly modified, bringing them together to drive from Nebraska all the way to the Las Vegas SEMA show, which is actually coming up at the end of October, and I would love to be at that show. Brady, Shane, have you been to those?
Didn't you get your invitation?
This year will be my first year.
What's that?
This year will be my first year.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to go.
Didn't you get your invitation?
And all the guys are going down this year.
Yeah.
Because you need to get a lay of the land so that when you guys enter your car.
Yes, we actually plan on bringing you the car the year after this one.
That's what I thought. Yep. That's what I thought. So anyways, Brian's on with us, and we're talking rat rods and hot rods and all that. So we were picking. Let's pick back up what we were talking about. You were saying that a lot of the manufacturers are, you know, like the guys that actually make the tools. Now, Shane, you're very familiar with that.
Oh, yeah. We have two English wheels, two planching hammers, three bead rollers. We got a 20-ton brake.
Don't forget your louver cutter.
We got a louver cutter. Yeah. And we just bought a Pettingill machine. And we also have a Pullmax in the shop.
There you go.
So if it flat and you want it made into something, we can pretty much do it.
Yeah, Brian, Shane's company is E-Company Customs, and he's the GM up there, and they do some really, really nice fab work, if I do say so myself.
Thank you.
So do you have a shop yourself, Brian?
Yes, I do.
I can't hear you. You're really quiet now.
Yes, I do.
Oh, there we go.
I do, classic. You got me?
No, it's really, really, really distant now.
Hello.
There we go. I'm sorry. Gotcha.
Okay.
Driver error.
25 years of classic car restoration. Economy got kind of crappy here in the States, so I got it with Rat Rod Magazine. Did 6 years with them, and now I'm back to classic car restoration, and the economy is good, and I am booked for 2 years out. So
that's great.
Things are good.
Yeah, we're about a year and a half ourselves.
Yeah. The phones have been ringing now, so it's good.
Well, and not only are you into building and refurbishing and fixing and making, you're also into putting together gatherings that do this kind of thing, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I've been doing this. Well, I did it with Rat Rod Magazine. I helped out with a lot of the tours and the events there also. But now I'm on my doing my own thing with the Radical thing. We're chasing down a lot of the real good builders that I met throughout the country and literally just giving them a stage in front of the world to, you know, show them what they can do. So it's a good thing.
So you're basically putting together, what I was hearing you say was you're putting together events where basically you do a build-off, you know, live. Is that sort of close to what we're talking about?
Well, no, these guys here, they actually have one full year to build their vehicles.
Got it.
Ready to go. Well, it starts January 1st.
Okay.
And they have to meet in Nebraska in October right before we do the drive-in. We show up at Las Vegas about 4 days before SEMA starts. Our event actually ends when we roll into Vegas. The road is the judge. That does a lot of the judging, and we ride in each of the vehicles in to make sure they're roadworthy and, you know, the ins and outs of each build. And then when we get to Las Vegas, we pick a winner, and then these guys go into SEMA, and they display their vehicles. And the last day of SEMA, we let the people know who won the drive-off part.
Very cool.
Now, Now, are you paying for your spot at SEMA, or is SEMA sponsoring this? How does that work?
No, we are independent build-off. We are not hooked up with SEMA whatsoever. We do our drive-off in, and then all these builders actually had to go in and land a manufacturer to get in. SEMA is a trade show. It's not a car show.
Yep.
So you have to have a manufacturer believe in you and believe in what you can build for them to sponsor you and to give you the sponsorship in. So it
just
is
like
a big
racing.
Deal. There's a business part of this. It's not just the building. You got to be able to go in and schmooze, and you have to be able to build. I mean, so they want to see what you've done prior and all that. So it's they call it the SEMA crunch right now. That's what the boys are in right now. They're a month out, and they are all building hard.
Yeah, I'm sure they're flailing away.
You bet. You got to get ready for the drive. So
now,
Anything can happen on the road. You never know.
You started in 2015, and now it's 2018, so it's 3 years later. How many people did you start out with back in 2015 doing this, and how many people do you have now doing this?
Actually, 2015 is the year we had the idea. 2016 was the very first year. We had three builders build that year, two Canadians and one UK person. Actually, the car was built in Juarez, Mexico. Street Toys, Michael Lightborn from Street Toys down there, built a beautiful 1933 Rolls-Royce rat rod.
Cool. Wow.
This is the reason I went radical. We were the first year was a rat rod build-off, but when they come with that Rolls-Royce, fully polished,
oh, yeah,
LS6 Chevelle, fuel-injected motor in it, it was over the top. And the thing is, he did not win because we were building, it was a rat rod build off.
Right.
The 29 Dodge won. It was a true rat rod.
His car was too shiny.
We really looked at the build off differently because we've seen it literally morph in front of our face into a radical. Because who can call a 33 Rolls Royce chopped? I mean, fully polished aluminum body. It was a beautiful car.
We went
radical that year. And from there on out, it's been radical. So it's not a true blue rat rod. It's morphed into high performance. You never know what it's going to be, LS motors or fuel injection or everything's overdrive. It's really incredible to see this come full circle again.
Well, it is pretty exciting. I mean, just as a spectator, reading the various magazines and the type of builds that are being done now, I mean, I go back as far as, you know, the 50s and the 60s, where hot rodding had a whole kind of set of rules. You know, there was a way to build a car, and there was a stance that you expected, and there was a certain kind of, you know, accessorizing that you were going to do, and a hot rod was a hot rod was a hot rod, and there was paint, and there was chrome, mm-hmm. but, you know, there was a kind of a confirmation that you sort of looked at. These days, it's really exciting because you can go pretty much any direction, and in a lot of cases, the more radical, the better, as long as it's drivable. And I think that really is kind of what hot rodding was started out to be, and it's kind of neat to get back to that with the addition of some modern tech and going in a direction that nobody expected by, you know, like as of your Rolls Royce.
So is your event an invitational, or how do you find your builders for it?
We're invitational. We try search, you know, throughout Facebook and throughout the country to find the best builders we can. We're always looking for new talent.
So you take submissions too, I assume.
Greg, I have gears turning in my mind here.
We're always looking for fresh builders. Yeah,
great. Yes.
We might have a.
Well, we're a young shop. Keep us in mind.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And Greg would be a perfect candidate for that too. I mean, we got some nice.
Next year we only have one Canadian builder so far, so we're always looking for Canadian builders. If you guys are close enough to the border, we might take in as Canada.
Well, we're pretty close. We're 80 miles away, yeah. So
we're just thrown stowaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll send you some referrals because we're already just between us. We're going, oh, I know these guys.
Yes,
this guy's,
yes,
this guy.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll definitely
exactly.
Shoot you some emails offline.
That'd be awesome.
And so how many people are in the fray this year?
We have seven teams this year.
Great.
We have Team Cutters returning. They are the champions from last year. We have Team Six Pack Pretty out of Louisiana, with Dennis Landry. We have Team Montana with Chris Quintelia. I hope I got his last name right there. Team Mexico, Deuce's Garage with Benji and Angie Martinez. We have South Africa with Fricky, which I cannot pronounce his last name whatsoever, with Team Big Six. We have... Belgium coming this year with Team Cobblestone Customs, and we have a Canadian team, Team Zombie, with Tyler Turton out of Winnipeg.
Nice.
We're building an unbelievable true cab panel truck.
Awesome.
Some of the builds they got this year are mind-boggling, so come check us out.
We will. You know, one of the things that you and I talked about is you're very connected with, I forget his name, one of the originators of hot rodding. Is it Gene?
Oh, yes, Gene Winfield.
Gene Winfield, yes, sure, sure.
Yeah, he definitely took a liking to us because he's seen literally what we're doing as the roots of it. It went full circle because, you know, he actually told us, he says he was part of the scene early on with the show cars. And mm-hmm. He was part of these guys making show cars that never were driven. They were put in trailers and brought
yep.
to shows.
Yep.
He says, and he kind of felt like he helped kind of kill the scene, and now for him to be involved with us at the building aspect of it again he just lights him up. He's 91 years old, and to see him act like a kid when he hangs around with us is pretty cool. He's a really good guy.
I remember reading an interview of him a couple of years ago where he was talking about how excited he was about the direction that hot rodding was going at the time, and this sounds like just the further outgrowth of that. It's very cool.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, like you said, the guys are building the roots again, basically, of hot rodding. Blue-collar guys in their garage building their own cars and enjoying them and driving the wheels off them.
You know, that's kind of reflected as well in the whole custom motorcycle scene, is because for a long time, the 90s came around, and all of a sudden all these high roller big bikes came out that were trailer queens. And in $60,000, $70,000, $100,000, you're rolling out with a beautiful bike. And then that just put it beyond the average person to be able to even touch. And then with the economy cranking down at 2008, most all those big major companies went out of business. The guys that had been doing it since the 60s and 70s got back to being a small shop again. And then all of a sudden a new crop arrives, and it's the young guys that love motorcycling that went out and bought the $500 Japanese bike and went to town, and or bought an old Harley or a frame. And next thing you know, they're coming out with hand-fabricated parts and pieces in there, using the same machinery that you're using for the cars, they're doing in their shops, and now they're just turning out beautiful stuff. But these guys still work an 8-to-5. So it's come full circle in the customizing in both worlds, and I love it because it's just guys getting greasy and taking chances.
Well, you know, the motorcycling equivalent to this is that bobbers are coming back.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even even Harley's
Cafe Racers came back.
They're making factory bobbers. Now, they're not going to do that unless it's a worthwhile segment of the market. And that's what people are doing now. You can go to most of the underground shows if you want, and there's nothing but bobbers. That's what people are doing. And it's kind of the same thing.
Or Cafe Racers.
Well, there's a few, but...
Oh, no, they're pretty big in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Not with me. I'm down for Cafe Racers, but
well, that's because,
but if you look out there, every show's got bobbers.
Right.
Same thing with rat rods, though. I mean, that's it. It's kind of the future of hot rodding, if you will. I think anyway.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you bet.
Well,
it's artistic,
sir. Individual cars too. Not one of them seems to be the same in the rat rod scene.
Yeah.
We got in the hot rod scene, and everyone wanted to chase a 32 Deuce or 34.
Right.
And they were belly button cars. I mean, they were beautiful cars yet, but everybody had one, and they were all the same. Well, now with this rat rod scene, flaring up, you're seeing a lot of custom building coming into the rat rod scene, where it's not just a rat rod where they threw some horseshoes and some barbed wire on it. They hand-built this car.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. So you're seeing. So it's great. It's great for the scene. It's, always expanding.
Well, and where can people find out more about what you're doing?
RadicalDriveOff.com is our webpage. Facebook, International Radical Rod Build Off Drive Off.
All right.
And
we'll definitely put both of those links on our page.
Definitely.
Cool. Instagram also. We're a Radical Rod Build Off Drive or Build Off on Instagram. So look at us there, too.
Right on.
Excellent. And so one last parting thought is... you're in Minnesota, and so all the builders are they all basically going to drive their vehicle, or are some of them going to trailer them to Nebraska, and then they'll drive them all from Nebraska to L.A.?
To tell you the truth, both of the teams coming from overseas will be jumping in their rigs when they come out of the containers and driving them to Nebraska.
Oh, that's great.
The truth. We have one of the teams that lives in New Mexico will be driving 500 almost 800 miles in opposite direction to meet us in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then drive right by his house as we go back to Washington.
Sure. Well, he can stop and get another...
Everybody's driving their vehicles to Nebraska to get the bugs out of them.
Yeah, well, drive by his house, we can stop and get a couple of beers on the way.
Yeah, they're all driving them. Nobody's trailering. They are bringing vehicles with a trailer in case we have a problem on the road, but most of the time we fix a weekend on the road, and we just keep on rolling, so...
Well, this is wonderful, Brian, and we'll we'll stay in touch and bring you back on, and definitely we'll be tracking the SEMA show. And you know what? I think Shane's going to have to come by and say hello to all you guys.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, we want to see all the video from this trek too. You know, you're shooting a bunch of video, right?
Yeah, we're going to be videotaping the whole entire trek in.
All right.
It'll be good.
Excellent.
We'll make sure we make room on our podcast to show your video.
Yeah, or we'll maybe by that time we'll have our channel up and you can do some of it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on with us, Brian. We are going to be in touch, and Shane's going to say hello when he comes down to SEMA.
Yes, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Take care now. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great, and we got more to come, like a great hot rod story that Brady's going to tell us here in just a moment. So stick with us. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944. A water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. RavenstoneVaporHoning.com, redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Get ready, it's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmonds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmonds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmonds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrunner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the show.
This is Cars Confidential, where we share all kinds of hot rodding stories and sorrows and all those
We've had
all
a
kinds
yeah.
of things. Stories. So Bray, what do you got? Kind of story you got for us today?
Hopefully, it's not part 10 of the one we've been doing.
No. Stories 10. Of damage. Stories of regret. Stories of shortcuts that you probably shouldn't have ever taken.
Exactly.
In fact, today. I have a great story from Ron Limbrick, and the story is called "Some Shortcut."
Of course.
Who among us has not decided to go, you know, this is probably a quicker way. I'll just take a left instead of go straight.
Oh, yes.
And there's always something that goes along with that. And here's Ron's version. As I recall, our first trip to Grand Rapids, Minnesota was in 1987 or very close to it. Several car friends had been talking about this beautiful little town in Minnesota that hosts two car shows on one weekend, which was always the last full weekend in July. The first time attending was in the motorhome that I had built. Now, we parked amongst the huge white pines that the area is noted for in the fairgrounds camping area. One of the shows, hosted by an antique car club, was located at the local fairgrounds, a truly beautiful setting on a grassy area overlooking a small lake. There was a swap meet associated with the show at the fairgrounds inside the agricultural buildings and in some of the open areas. The local street rod club hosts the other show, which is a Saturday-only deal that had been held at various venues over the years. It includes a wonderful sit-down chicken dinner at the end of the afternoon trophy presentation. So during the years, since our first trip to Grand Rapids, I had bought several hot rods to the show, and I only recall missing one year due to an illness. Now, we've made numerous Grand Rapids friends over these many years, and it's always wonderful renewing these friendships at the local Dairy Queen. It's a great gathering spot, and after a long day of checking out the neat old cars and their owners and discovering treasures at the swap meet, we would get together over there. I always enjoyed the time spent with my good friends Bob Bass, my B engine builder, and his co-pilot Marie. As we come and go to Grand Rapids, the Nanibuju is a favorite spot to have a meal on the North Shore in Minnesota, the Nanibuju. I don't have any idea what that means. However, the last time we took the 39, we decided to take a little different
maybe
way home.
Maybe our past guest did.
Maybe. It was decided to take the scenic route home for a change, as we never have taken it. It cuts out Duluth and angles southeast towards Lake Superior. I think I had heard that it was a shortcut. Right. The road was very acceptable and took us through Iron Range towns like Hibbing and Virginia and Ely. And as we left Ely, the road was very winding and narrow, kind of a motorcycle rider's dream. And after driving on this beautiful scenic road, we unexpectedly arrived at a road closed sign and an arrow pointing to the left that read, Detour, Gravel Road, next 25 miles. Well, we'd come way too far on this so-called shortcut to turn back, so yeah, we forged onward in the little 39 on what appeared to be a seldom-used logging road. Luckily, there was very little traffic other than one heck of a large logging truck in a big hurry, and after what seemed like an eternity, we finally made it to the end of the detour and back onto the pavement. As it turns out, the only damage done to the car was at one of the events in Grand Rapids, where a kid on his bike ran into my rear fender and left another big blemish on the old girl. We got home without any more excitement, thank goodness. All in all, it was another very nice weekend, which I think goes to prove that getting in the car and hitting the road can always be a new adventure, even when you're going to a favorite old place by some shortcut.
I can say that it's not... I think every time we go on vacation, do our road trips, we run into those detours.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just, you go and you follow what you're doing. Now with nav systems, it's like, pew, pew, pew. We make our own detours. Oh, traffic up there, take a right, take a left, do this, and miss 10 minutes worth of traffic, miss another 10 minutes of traffic.
See, I'm exactly the opposite.
Me too.
I refuse to use the nav systems. Yeah. I will never turn on a GPS. I like taking the weird road that goes off to the side.
No, I'm talking about the traffic.
No,
I don't
care about the traffic at all.
Afternoon, try to get lost on
purpose. I couldn't care less. The traffic doesn't bother me.
I have not got lost yet, though.
Yeah.
Oh, so you mean when you get off I-5 to miss the I-5 jive? Well, you don't do that. See, I'm down in Portland a lot, and when I come up to Centralia, it's like, take a right and head off east, find a second road, and come back on and miss the half hour worth of slog on I-5. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. See, I would do that anyway, but I wouldn't do it because I was afraid
I
of traffic.
I usually avoid freeways.
I'd do it because it would be a fun road to take.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, otherwise we just follow the detours. Oh, yeah.
Nah, I don't even care. My wife, it makes her crazy because I will not ask for directions.
Oh, I do.
I am a man. I will not take the standard road. I will not avoid a detour just because it says you can't go here. I want to. Oh, let's see why not. What's up there? What's the worst that can happen? I'll have to turn around.
I will not say I'm lost.
Yeah, you can't get too lost. You turn around and go back, and you're back to wherever you were. So
unless you go splash, you're not lost.
Well, yeah, I like to think I have a little bit of, attention to the wheel. I'm not going to go splash, on purpose, but...
State lines.
Well, when we're in the middle of...
Speaking of state lines, I got a quickie.
Yes, go ahead.
When you go from Idaho to Montana, there is... If you go on 90 or something, that's easy because the freeway is there. But if you stop in Wallace, Idaho, and you turn left, so north, you go up over the top of Thompson Pass and the Burke Hill, and you go into Montana, the road is maintained marvelously all the way up to the Montana line. And then you go across. It's literally like the road crew stopped there.
Yes.
And when you hit Montana, it's paved. It's wonderful. There's curbs. There's sidelines. There's, you know, McDonald's. And then you hit the line to Montana. It's like steerage. There's nothing there. It's like there's elk.
You
know, yeah, I had the
railroad.
It's gravel. Yeah.
I had the opposite.
Hilarious.
When we took Highway 2 across or the North Cascades Highway, that's 20 or 20?
That's 20.
Okay, 20, so we took 20. We went through Washington State. Then we went on up to Kettle Falls, and then we went across Idaho up there, and then down into Montana, and the roads were all wonderful.
Ponderay Lake.
It was like when we came back.
Sandpoint.
Montana, great roads, 70 plus miles an hour. Idaho, 70 plus, and then the same Highway 20.
Yes.
50.
Yes.
I'm like, immediately you go over that, and I'm like, it's the same highway. What's
yes,
the
is.
Deal here? It's 50. I was going 70 the last two states. 50.
It's how much money Sandpoint County had, or Ponderay County.
Yeah. Well, what
they,
I did is, it's that way all the way across.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I said, you know what? I'm going 70 because I'm used to going 70. And that was when I decided I don't follow the speed limits anymore because they're not set because it's safe. They're set so you can ticket people. Freeway is you can go 70 miles an hour and everybody does it and no one's getting any more accidents than if they were doing 55.
It depends on how you go 70. Yes. You can go 70.
I with the traffic.
Hand, yeah,
I stay with traffic.
If you're with the traffic, you're probably
fine.
I'm
not being a nut job.
That's right.
If they, 70 sideways.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. 70 sideways is a little bit more.
I hate
foreground.
Those people. The guys that are swerving in and out. No, that's not me. I am like, but what we.
I have been those people.
I've talked with state troopers more than once, and they said, stay with the traffic.
Yes.
Even if it's over the speed limit,
you're
because
be
you're
fine.
A safety factor if you slow down and stay the speed limit when everybody else is zooming by.
Yep. Now you're going to be fine.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Well, as usual, this the story came from the old Car Nut book. This was book three. And as we always say, David Dickinson did a great job of compiling these stories. You can get the old Car Nut book at oldcarnutbook.com. Or through Evan Court Press, or you can get it on Amazon, and there are three books in the series, and boy, do they make a great gift.
Yep. Now, you may have heard all the stories by the time you go to get one, but it's still worth a real reading.
Only if you listen to every single show, but you do that, don't you?
That's right.
Well, stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
That's right.
Get that right, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The law offices of Ambulance and Chaser are making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit the Shelter Pet Project.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can. You're an El Camino man.
Only you can understand. Well, Steve can understand. Welcome back. It's the fifth and final segment of the show. El Camino men and everybody else is welcome. This is Around the Wheel. We talk about events and rallies and club stuff and all kinds of other things, not the least of which is the weekly trivia question. And this time, yes, ladies and gentlemen, this time, nobody came up with the answer.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It was a great trivia question.
It was a double question.
Well, it was. The first city to have parking meters was the question. What was it? And where was it? And all of that. And what year? And there was a second piece to the question. But the answer, the correct answer, was Oklahoma City. And it was longer ago than we thought. It was July 16th, 1935.
Wow.
1935.
Wow.
Some city, Oklahoma, decided to charge people for space.
You would have thought it would have been New York or something, but Oklahoma.
Yeah, I would have figured New Jersey, to be honest with you. That's, you know.
Yeah.
They would have mobbed up and figured a way to do that, but they didn't. So nobody wins the cherished and coveted can of barn find dust. However, you have another chance because our question for this week, which is much easier, sort of, and let's face it, people, you could Google this if you really wanted to, but you don't have to. You might just drag through your brain and see if you came up with it. The question for this week, to be answered next week, is where was the very first drive-in restaurant? It is not where you think it might be. And if you know the name of it, you get super extra points because it is the most hilarious name for a drive-in restaurant I have ever heard.
Wow.
So, first drive-in restaurant, where was it? What's the name for extra points? If you know, get to our Facebook page, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and you can answer there on the Facebook page. You could send us a PM or message or something like that. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And if you are the winner, you, yes, you, will be publicly acknowledged, probably ridiculed, and you will be the winner of a fine quality antique, very specially polished bucket of barn find dust, which you can sprinkle liberally on your vehicle.
That's right.
Quadruple the value easily.
And the bonus question was,
yes,
what movie,
yes,
contained a portion where someone did something malicious to a
parking meter.
Parking meter. And it was the classic Cool Hand Luke.
Yes.
It's what sent Mr. Cool Hand Luke to the prison.
That's right.
We got a failure to communicate here,
what
folks.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
And if you only hear that in, let's say, Guns N' Roses song, then you've missed the whole point of you need to see that movie. It is a classic movie.
It is a
movie.
Classic.
That never
where they,
seen it.
Where they, yeah.
You've never seen it?
Nope. You've never seen Cool Hand Luke?
Oh, man.
You have never, what?
I haven't.
Wow.
Okay, tie him down and go get the video.
Yes.
If he's watching it, that's all
I've actually got it on hold from the library, and it's like I'm one in about 18, so it's still very popular.
Cool Hand Luke. You haven't seen Cool Hand Luke?
No, I have not.
I've seen it probably 10 times.
I would go see
it
just for Woody Strode.
Yes. All the famous actors
just
that were
Woody.
Character actors that were in there.
Oh, everybody was in it. Strother Martin was in it.
Get the... do I carry your... let's see, what was that? Carry the gun, boss? Carry the gun,
carry
boss?
Carry the gun, boss.
And
yeah.
That's
almost as good as, yeah, like tater salad.
Yeah. Oh, that Lucille. Oh, that's Lucille. She's washing that. Oh, she's my girlfriend. Yeah, yeah. That George Kennedy in there. Oh, man.
George Kennedy, guys.
He was
right.
Great.
All right. I'll have to go watch it.
Yeah, you got
to
watch it. There's no way around
it. Of course,
it.
It's like a classic like Thunderbolt and Lightfoot where George Kennedy played a real. Ooh, he was
Thunderbolt
mean in that.
And Lightfoot. Was George Kennedy in that? Because Clint Eastwood.
Yes,
and,
he was.
What's his name?
He was
Jeff Bridges.
One of the guys. He was
Jeff
one of
Bridges.
The guys.
I want to thank you guys for making me feel young because I have no clue what you're talking about.
Good.
Oh, man. And there was a really cool hopped up.
Justin Bieber. How do you feel now? You okay with Justin Bieber?
What was the
okay
hopped there. Up car in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot? It was really big.
1957 Checker cab.
No.
No, I don't have any.
I think
idea.
It was a 73 Cadillac.
Okay.
All hopped up.
If you say so, I believe.
Yeah.
Jeff fortunately, thank goodness, the music is our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks for stopping by. Make sure you like and follow our website and our Facebook page. We're really, you know, looking forward to 50,000 follows. Check out the archive for all our shows, horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright. Say, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.